Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42.
Puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan.
What up?
You may have noticed an increase in articles, videos, and posts recently talking about the health risks of inadequate sleep. Well, if you've been listening to this show, you know that Legacy Sports Nutritionist has been telling you guys that for years. Do you want less belly fat, more testosterone, more energy, better mood? There's one hack that doesn't require a change in diet or more exercise. Improve your sleep with Recovery PM. My favorite product from Legacy Sports Nutrition, Joe's too. Take two Recovery PM about an hour before bed and feel the difference in the quality of sleep you get, and after a couple weeks, you'll notice how everything else is improving. Recovery PM is a top-selling product at LegacySubs.com, and that's because over 80% of the people that buy it once come back for more. That's not marketing, that's results. So Joe's been using it, feels great. He's at a party right now. So Joe gets so much sleep, good sleep. He's able to go out to parties, surprise birthday parties on Friday nights.
Right, and I show up on the show, yeah.
Right. So try it now. You won't regret it. Go to LegacySups.com. That's LegacySupps.com or RecoveryPM.com. That's RecoveryPM.com. And use code K100 for an extra 10% off your order. And of course, using code K100 supports this show too. Level up your life with Recover PM now from Legacy Sports Nutrition or boy Nick Aldis.
And I don't use the all-in-one, but I'm going to. I use the nighttime fat burner, which has done, which been very effective. Check out for fat burning, for muscle gain, for anything that you can imagine. They have legacy subs for men and legacy subs for women. Check that out at legacysubs.com. Boom.
Next is from, who we got here? Anthony Hunt, bloodline question. K100, greetings from Philly. We love K100 crew. My question is, with Jey Uso stepping up in the rise of Sammy, where do we go? Do we make Mania triple threat, or do Usos versus Owens and Sammy? I could see Jey helping Sammy win the title. Billy is right. Love Sammy, not feeling Cody. I just think you got to keep riding Sammy. What do you think? Anthony Hunt, Philly. No. Bro, I mean, what do you, when you let the marks and the smart marks get in the conversation, like you heard the conversation. Did you hear the Meltzer, Conan, did you watch the Meltzer Alvarez clip?
Yep.
Let's play it. Let's get that clip in here and play that. I want to play this. Okay. Cause you gotta put this to bed, because when you, bro, guys like that have never been in the booking room before. Okay. And they just do not get it. You know,
wrestling is that doesn't ever have to happen. Never. In MMA, if George St. Pierre goes to Montreal,
you can't control if he wins or loses. If everything would be better if he wins, it doesn't matter. You can't control it. But in pro wrestling, the whole point is you can control it. Yeah. There was nothing stopping them from having Sami Zayn win. There was nothing preventing them. It's not like you have zero tickets sold for WrestleMania. Like, the place has already got 55,000 both nights or whatever. I mean, you've sold your tickets. The show is going to do great on Peacock, regardless of who goes in as champion. There was literally no good reason not to put the title on him on this show.
Okay, but here's the thing. Given that Sammy is the one who's drawing the ratings, Roman was on that show last night and they did another big rating. You know, that show has been doing well with or without Roman. The draw is Sammy. And it's like, okay. So, given that evidence, it's like, it's like, even if you think, I mean, you shouldn't even, if you are analyzing the data, by doing so, you're looking at it and going like, we will probably do better with Sammy. I mean, that's the conclusion that I come to. It's like, okay, we spent a year on Roman, but guess what? Somebody passed him up. I mean, he did. You know what I mean? It's like, you can't say he didn't, because the data is right there, okay? They weren't doing these numbers. Roman's been champion for 2 years. They haven't done these numbers ever. Yeah, when John Cena came in, they did these numbers for one shot. And if John was in week after week, it'd only be week one where they would do these numbers. Sammy is the biggest draw that they have had on this show in, I don't know. I have to look back. I mean, maybe 3 years ago, when TV was different, maybe they were doing numbers this big. I don't remember exactly. And they weren't. And I don't think that they were quite this big either, even then. But this has become the biggest draw that show has had. And, it's the whole storyline, of course. It's not Sammy in and of itself in a vacuum. But this is the storyline. That's the point. It's like, keep this storyline going. I keep this thing going for as long as possible. And at this point, if Sammy wins, Roman coming back, it's the same feud. You know what I mean? So it's like, whatever. It already happened. We can talk about
it. It's already happened.
What is your comment on that?
I just think that Roman's had that title long enough that he has to give the rub to somebody by making him champion. And I have a feeling that maybe the championship was promised to Cody for him to come back. That's what I'm thinking. Now, here's the thing. I feel that you don't have to think, okay, is Cody, is Cody better than Sammy? You could make two guys at the same time. The problem that I think the fear might have been is that if Sammy won the championship, maybe Cody, who was going on an ascension, would kind of fizzle out a little bit, where Sammy doesn't have to win the championship and he's going to stay hot. And then maybe in the future you give it to him. But I wouldn't have a problem. I think Cody's a more marketable of the two, and that's probably what they're looking at. But when you have an organic thing like this that's so huge, kind of like the last time I remember something like this, maybe Bryan Danielson.
The yes movement.
And the other thing is that, you don't always have to look like a star. Look at Mick Foley. But what?
I was exactly going to equate Sammy to Daniel Bryan, because everybody wanted Bryan to win the belt. And finally, WWE acquiesced and we had the big Bryan winning the belt moment. But what happened after that? That title reign was tepid. They put him in with Kane and this. It's not his fault. But I'm saying when I thought about that, it was like, all right, Sammy wins.
Look at what they did when they gave Rey Mysterio the title.
That's true.
Every non-title match he had, he lost.
So
he was getting squashed here in San Diego, bro.
Yeah, by Mark Henry and
creative.
Yeah,
to find somebody that's hot and keep them hot.
So if you were booking, would you have had Sammy win Saturday night?
Let me. I'm going to go ask that. And unfortunately, this attitude has is, you know, Dave has it, Alvarez has it. I don't think Conan has it, but as Conan's been in wrestling, it's like people from the outside looking in, like a guy like me that's, I'm not in the business anymore. I just observe it, right? But one thing I see,
so you're a wrestling observer.
Well, one thing I see that's happened a lot in wrestling, okay, over the years.
Okay, that wasn't funny. And that, the fact that you laughed at it. Right. Wait for it.
Yeah, Joe got kazooed. But, bro, and this is what AEW doesn't do, okay? And Dave supports stuff. Bro, you have to, and this has been eroded over the years, and I think Conan would agree with this, is that the suspension of disbelief is a core tenet for professional wrestling and has been in years past. But the suspension of disbelief is kind of eroded over the years to where, like, especially like on AEW, where anytime a little guy wrestles a big guy, the big guy loses, like, literally every single time. I mean, like, there's not even, like, I can't even recall a situation where, like, you know, any of these big guys have beat the smaller guys, right? Except Joe, but Joe got beat by Darby, you know, too. And I just think that at that, when your show is this strong, I know that angle's strong, okay? And, bro, the angle is entertaining to the point that the best stuff about the angle with Sammy has been the vignettes, mm-hmm. not the matches. Nobody's remembered. You can't remember the matches unless the exact thing on the finish of the match. You remember a lot of the vignettes. You remember a lot of the in-ring interview. That's been what's gotten over. Sammy can continue in this mode of doing entertaining television like that. He does not need the belt. If you're going to beat Roman, you're going to have to beat him with somebody that looks the part, because this guy's had the belt for like 800-900 days. So for the suspension disbelief, and if you're selling the magnitude of a match and you're drawing fans that really haven't been watching a while, the visual picture of Sami Zayn beating Roman Reigns, I don't think these casual fans are going to buy it. And they're not going to stay with it and like continue to watch. Like they might come in and look and go, oh, that looks ridiculous. And you're going to have fans like that. And there are fans like that that still exist, which is why I don't think Sami should win the belt. He got his big match in Montreal. I'm sure it probably did a fantastic number. The wrestling ratings are going to continue to do very good going through WrestleMania because the Bloodline story is still very strong with Jey Uso. And Sammy's still involved, you know? So Cody looks the part. He looks like a credible child. And it's been, Drew McIntyre looks the part. Goldberg looked the part. So he's beating all these guys. You can't have Roman go through all those guys and then Sami Zayn's going to be the guy to take the belt off him. I'm sorry. That's me coming from the thing of like, okay, you got to stick to the suspension disbelief here because casual fans might be tuning in and they're not going to, that ain't going to sell for them. You know, what do you think about that, Conan?
Like I said, I can go either way. I can have Sammy as a champion and, you know, do something cool with Cody so he doesn't cool out. But I think Cody, no, I would give it right now. I'd probably give it to Cody.
Right.
Yeah.
Let me say this. And after watching Cody, you haven't seen it yet, but I got to talk about it because we're right in the middle of it. But I tweeted my idea. I think my idea should have been the way they went. Because, bro, they missed a huge pop. Because when Jay came and the gimmick was Sammy went to spear Roman, but Roman moved out of the way and he speared Jay. And then he got, you know, everything. And you missed. There was a groan and he lost, you know. Bro, they missed. And then Jay just rolled out, you know. So you could have done the spot where Jay super kicked, had the choice of what he was going to do and super kick Roman and blown the roof off the place.
Okay, I thought the same thing, but this is what I think. They didn't want to give away the Jay Uso thing yet.
Right.
Or maybe the hug with Kevin Owens that people were expecting, because now they got it for Mania.
Right.
That's what I'm thinking.
Maybe, yeah. You might be right. You might be right. I don't know. That's the thing. I'm just speculating.
Yeah,
I want to. I'm watching this story. I don't want the spoiler on this. I want to watch a story like that.
Right.
You know, I get my opinion. What should they do with that work? Maybe that worked better. You know, so I like it. That's what I like about this story. So.
And for the record, Disco, I thought initially that it would just make more sense to go the easy route. It would just be Usos versus Owens and Zayn. But the way you described Jay taking Sammy's side, that actually made me way more interested. I was looking for that. I was hoping for that.
I'm saying Jay and Sammy against Solo and Jimmy Uso is just as compelling a story as you could tell as Owens and Sammy. Bro, Sammy, first of all, Sammy and Owens, and they're trying to paint this picture that Sammy and Kevin Owens are like good friends after all these. But they've turned on each other. Kevin's turned on them multiple times throughout their career.
And Sammy's turned on him now, too.
Right, you can continue to tell that story. Like, there's still, you know, that's why I think, like, that's why I thought that Owens can turn on Sammy still.
You know what I'm saying? Because that would be true to his character. He's been doing it his whole career. You know, so I don't know. So Conan.
What up?
I've been training, and right. I've been taking my AG1 by Athletic Greens every day. What a product. Everything you need. I used to take a lot of vitamins. Okay, I'm a pretty healthy guy. I'm very much into personal health, diet, exercise. But I had all my vitamins, and I had like 8-9 bottles of vitamins that I would take. Athletic Greens is the perfect replacement for that. It's got 75 high-quality ingredients. Like I said, everything you need. It's a comprehensive health and power of habit in one. It's great for recovery. I take mine after my workout. You can take it. There's many different ways you can take it, but taking it after the workout is perfect for me because I get my nutrition like right when I'm done working out because I do intermittent fasting. So it's like, it's perfect. It inspires me to be as great as the athletes that I'm a fan of. You know, I like to work out, and like these guys take this too. It's like AG1 is so much more than a greens powder. It's all of your key health products in one. Joe, you've been taking it too, right?
Yeah, and as you mentioned before, you can, you know, drink it in the morning, drink it later on in the day after a workout. I kind of rotate, just depends on how I'm feeling that day, but I love having it in the morning. I did replace coffee with it, and sometimes I'll use it after I do my fight camp workout. So, but the taste is great, and you feel noticeably different. You know, sometimes later in the day, you get a little lethargic and whatnot. Just pop in your AG1 by Athletic Greens, have your drink, and or take it to the gym, you know. It works very, very well.
Yeah, you get your daily nutrients, 75 high-quality ingredients, all in one. It's a comprehensive solution, and it's what you need for your supplemental routine. The Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/Conan. That's athleticgreens.com/KONNAN. Check this product out. I use it every day. Joe Rogan uses them as a sponsor. You can tell this is the type of product that if you want, if you're into physical fitness and you're into personal health, you need AG1 by Athletic Greens.
Yo, and real quick, it contains chlorophyll, which carries oxygen to the blood cells. It boosts your immune system, better digestion, whole plethora of things. All 3 of us use it. We all swear by it.
So check that out at athleticgreens.com/Conair.
Boom.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben and Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill friendly meats like organic air chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
When you buy a new house, you might say,
shut the front door.
Winning.
No, seriously, shut the front door. We own this house now.
But you actually need to say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. The local State Farm agent is there to help you choose the coverage you need.
Welcome to my crib. No one says that anymore, but I don't care.
So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Every day, we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you're ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
Next is from James Musgrove, and the subject is bad referee logic. Hey guys, in the Elimination Chamber main event, we saw for the millionth time the referee getting knocked out. In my opinion, this is a tired and lazy way of keeping a match going for cheap suspense. Sure, it works, but what about internal logic? We've always been led to assume that even though WWE see it on camera, if there isn't a referee who's conscious, it doesn't count. So when Jey Uso frog splashed Sami Zayn, the referee slid right in behind and saw the attack. What? They have to be in the ring and see it for it to be legal? We have 4 referees come drag Montez Ford out of the cage earlier, but only 2 were available to officiate the biggest match of the year so far. Adam Pearce or Sonya Deville weren't ready to restart the match. There has to be better writing and ways to keep things interesting without the sad trend of referee KOing. The Zayn bloodline stuff is excellent, so why did they get lazy on the company rules? My question to you guys is, why do you think this is still being done? Any ideas on the way to get the same effect without doing the same thing? And that's from Jimmy Musgrove. P.S. I'll be the one to say it. Bill is. I don't want to read these. These people just keep.
I like
these people.
He says, I'll be the one to say it. James, you're not the one.
Yeah, you're not the one to say it, James. Billy's an insecure dickhead who spoils himself every time, but he's part of the show that I love to hate. And
puts him over
the guy hasn't. The guy hasn't been the disciple of backstage stuff from time to time. He fits here. Keep him around and keep tearing his ass up when he deserves it.
Yeah, so James, put him over.
Yeah, that's right. He actually did put him over. Let me say this. First of all, you have your basic universe of professional wrestling. It's just accepted that in American wrestling, we have referees get distracted and they get hit and they get knocked down for a while to where they miss stuff, right? Bro, you could do it like the other option is do what they do in Mexico. In Mexico, how do you do it, Cody? You have two referees, one's a heel and one's a babyface, right?
Right.
And that's how you get around. And that's how you get around. Like the storytelling stuff, man. The United States, this is just the way we've done it for years and years and years, and it's accepted. I will say this: excellent job, the way they sold the Montez Ford thing to bring in Logan Paul. Because I thought that was a shoot. Joe, were you watching that?
I only saw the main event so far.
Okay, in the Elimination Chamber, Montez Ford was hanging over the ropes on the out, like his legs are inside of the ring and his body's outside the ring, and Seth came up and did a curb stomp on the crate,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Whatever. And they dragged him in and pinned him.
Mm-hmm.
Montez Ford sold it like he'd been for a shoot he was hurt. To where the referees come in, they say, hey, stop. You know, and they brought the doctors in and everything and all that, and he sold it like he was KO'd.
Mm.
So like he had wobbly leg, they were picking him up and trying to carry him out, and then like he's selling it like he's knocked out. So they had to keep the door open. Because they had to remove a guy that for a shoot got hurt. Well, while the door was open and bed open, Logan Paul came down and got in there and like did the flip thing and boom, and then laid Rollins out. And they got him and worked the crowd, got huge heat. Very well done. Like that was a great spot to get Logan Paul in there. But when you see it, Cody, you're gonna pop. So
can't wait to see it.
Yeah. Next is from Mark Gertson, and the subject is Angelico. I was really intrigued when Conan said he would ask Angelico for a weed recommendation. A regular weed report from Angelico or perhaps another enthusiast might make for good content. But of course, you don't take requests. I would love to know if Conan has smoked any strains recently he would recommend. Thanks, Mark, from deep in the Stampede territory. Conan, do you have any weed recommendations? Any strains?
No, it all has the same effect. I get high.
Yeah, I was going to say, I always love Conan's response to that. Like, it's all good, basically. You know?
That's one thing I've never really understood. I can't. Like when I, you know, I'd use the pen like Conan does, right? I can't like identify the strains and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just like
there's so many of them, bro. Right. And at the end of the day, too, sativa and indica really gets you fucked up. You don't want right. to be you. Makes you want to stay home yeah. right. for that sativa. You can still be like functional,
right.
but you know, I don't ever. You know what I'm saying?
What do you do? Both.
Both. Yeah.
Really? So. Okay, yeah, because I only do it at night.
Bro, everywhere I go, since everybody knows I smoke, everywhere I virtually right. go, yeah, even to the store, they're like, hey, here, man, you know, like our
really?
Grocery store here, yeah.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Like the people that work at the store?
Yes.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. Daniel Zamorano, subject is JD the Clown. Daniel Zamorano, proud Patreon member. I'm sending this email to get you guys' opinion on what JD from New York had to say on the Conan Takeshita situation. I'm not going to mispronounce the guy's name because I don't want the ire of the orcs. You want to play this, Joe?
Sure.
Right. How long is this?
Well, his comments on Conan are about 5 minutes, but I wanted you to see his intro real quick before we move on because this is phenomenal.
Yeah, right, yeah.
He's driving.
I gotta give the guy credit. This is actually good.
It's creative, right?
It is creative, yeah.
But he's driving to his imaginary bar in his imaginary car. Anyway, fuck him. Let's go to the.
Do you know where the clip is?
5441. Yeah.
Okay.
Let's see what JD has to say. I'm assuming it's going to be negative.
I'm sure it is.
AEW because that's what's going to be on everybody's mind. But I hope mended fences can be had here with everybody involved. I think it's going to make for a better.
Who is this AEW. Guy?
We got this that's other the, story too, which
the Mark podcaster guy that does he's just
is that
one
the
of
guy
Mark
that
podcasters.
Had the glasses on and was going off on us a couple months ago.
Maybe
I don't remember. I don't remember if he was wearing glasses, but we've had him on before when he's talked.
They didn't get my go on this guy.
We did. Two of them.
He's like one of these guys that has a lot of listeners.
He does, yeah.
And like they look at him like he's like an expert.
Mm-hmm.
And like this
right,
guy,
so
just,
you've got a Mark. Yeah, right. and you're bro, listening like, to a mark.
All you got to do, just go back and listen to his rant when Cody left AEW to go to WWE and see what he said was going to happen and see what's happening now. And then he said he would just get lost in the mix there
and buried and
here he is main event in WrestleMania. So just like, you know, this just shows you where these guys are coming from. All right, go ahead.
Kind of pissed me off. Uh-oh. And in typical fashion, Conan backtracked. Conan, I was going to say this for my live stream tomorrow. I'll probably end up talking about this again tomorrow as well. Conan fires back at Konosuke Takeshita for doing an Eddie Guerrero signature frog splash in Texas. And Miro actually came to the defense of Takeshita days after Conan went after Takeshita on his Keeping It 100 podcast. Conan took issue with Takeshita imitating Eddie Guerrero during his match with MJF on Dynamite, hitting a frog splash and doing Eddie's signature pose at the top. He says, well, Takeshita, he's got heat with me, and he's lucky I wasn't in El Paso because he went up and he did the fucking Eddie Guerrero thing for the frog splash. You're not Mexican, dude. I don't care. Stick to your nationality, Conan said on his podcast. Miro took to Twitter to defend Takeshita and said, I bet you all that Conan, or whatever his name is, can't last 10 seconds with Takeshita. Conan, of course, backtracked on his comments and said, and I quote, Takeshita, that thing was a joke. Like, I'm really going to get mad over him doing a frog splash. Everyone does it. If you actually believe I was hot, joke's on you. After one fan accused Conan of backtracking and suggested he should apologize, Conan fired back with this remark, and I quote, please don't tell me what I did or what my intentions were. If you don't think it was a joke, that's on you. That's on you, he says. That's on you. That's on you. It shouldn't have been said, period. And this shit is ridiculous. This may have been one of the worst fucking takes that I've ever seen. I didn't know nationality needed to be had to do a fucking frog splash and imitate Eddie Guerrero. Sasha Banks has done it. Ricochet has done it. Kevin Owens has done it. How many fucking false finishes have we seen with Eddie Guerrero where someone drops the fucking thing? Finn Balor, I mean, has done the object in the hands and he throws it away. And he pretends like the referee didn't see it. I mean, everybody imitates Eddie Guerrero. You should be fucking happy that Eddie Guerrero to this day is being imitated by everybody.
Off. Just knock it off. These guys are imbeciles. I mean, literally, maybe we have to keep repeating this. If you think Conan, it's 59 years old, okay, that does dialysis three times a week, was being serious saying he wishes he's lucky I wasn't in San El Paso. If you think that was, if you're going to report that and talk about that like that was a serious comment, you're an imbecile.
Conan, what did the dog steal there?
Yeah.
By the way, your dogs are way over on the video mailbag on YouTube. People love the dogs. So.
Right. Yeah. The dogs are highlighted in the mailbag this week.
Oh, so. They rule.
They can now they know they're on the mailbag and they're getting their shit in.
Yep.
Let me tell this guy something that I've told a lot of people, and it's worth repeating. For you to insult me, I must first value your judgment, which I don't. Bro, this is a mark. A mark, bro, a guy that's never been in the business. And how are you sure that it wasn't a joke? What makes you so fucking sure that it? Do you listen to the show? Probably not. Did you, you wouldn't, you know, if our audience members, you know, the guys, the Randy Vasquez's, the Matthew Trevino's, the CWO guys, the Frank Further, all those guys would have said, hey, K-Dog, that was a bad look. Those are our fans, but they understand my humor, but you don't. So you're just trying to do the, he sounds like Vince Russo, you know, how Vince gets mad about everything wants to attract attention.
Yeah, that's right. His game. So, he yells a lot.
Right. I'm glad I gave you content. You know, next time I see you, I'm going to give you a consolation prize, which is the snowman. That's when I rub one out on your face and then a stick of carrot in your mouth. Nothing.
next is Zach. Yeah, but these people get, you got to, I mean.
They're imbeciles, bro.
They just got to, you got to stop. Because you really sound stupid. Because this one guy that the other Mark podcast I was arguing with on thing. I said, just answer this question. I go, do you think Conan was serious when he said he's lucky I wasn't in San Antonio? Or I said yes or no. Okay, because that's the thing. And you know what the guy said? He goes, well, I can't answer for Conan.
Right.
I don't know Conan well enough, so I can't answer that. No, dude, it's either yes or no. Because if it's yes, you're an idiot. If it's no, then shut the F up.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to say no, and you just want to keep you know, acting like you're outraged, and still shut the F up, all right? Because it's just one answer. The answer is no, it wasn't serious, so everybody shut up, right? Unless it's – but if you think yes, Conan was serious and he would go – could you imagine that, Conan, fly into San Antonio and go to the hotel after the match and get in by go up and get in to catch his face?
Or even if I was there in El Paso, even if I was there, like I'm going to leave the dressing room to go seek him out to either tell him off or punch him. Who actually thinks that?
Because he did.
You know who actually thinks that?
Marks.
People that don't like me.
Right.
Right.
People that don't like me too.
The cancel mob. You know the you can't you can't do this. You can't say this. You got to be equal. But they have no problem bullying. You know what I'm saying? Right. That fucking virtue signaling mob, which I just make fun of all the time.
Yo, Conan and Joe.
Ew.
Breaking news. Manscaped is now selling beard products. That's right. They've gone from waist to face to help you replace that bulky razor with their brand new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. Manscaped helps you get the golden rod of a Greek god. Now they've created the best tools for you to turn heads with a clean, perfectly groomed and conditioned beard. Finally tame your mane by going to manscaped.com and use our code K100 for 20% off plus free shipping. This kit is about to change your life. The Beard Hedger Pro Kit has made it easier than ever to craft your signature look. It will take your facial hair anywhere from Gandalf, the Great Wizard, to Totally Bare. You can even look like the ZZ Top guys if you want to. LaGrange, great song. You agree, Conan?
Tremendous.
It all starts with the Beard Hedger, and this thing is a juggernaut of fixing faces. It's waterproof, and its cordless trimmer has a rotary wheel that gives you 20 hair-cutting lengths, all with just one guard. Perfect. No more messy drawers full of extra add-ons. And like you heard that, no more drawers full of 20 different guards. It's just guard. Perfect, yeah. So with 20 lengths, it's never so easy to find your beard look. Plus, the trimmer has a titanium-coated T-blade that is tough on the hair but smooth on your face. Do you know that I'm slim in the waist but cute in the face? Would you agree to that?
You are a Southern belle.
Yeah, the Pro Kit is much more than a trimmer, Joe. It comes with four dermatologist-tested formulations for your post-trim care. And it has the beard shampoo and conditioner. All your hair is different. Your beard and hair is much more coarse and easier to damage. That's why they get a shampoo and conditioner specifically designed to moisturize, reduce ingrown hairs, and replenish your natural oils promoting beard health. Well, then they have the beard oil, too. And this nutrient-infused oil relieves dryness both on the beard and the skin beneath. And they cap it off with the beard balm. So pomade that shaves, styles, and moisturizes, bringing the amazing scent of fresh eucalyptus, rosemary, and lavender essential oils. Fantastic. And the beard kit also comes with three free gifts. Guess what they are? A beard brush, comb, and scissors to ensure your beard is ready to impress. So get 20% off and free shipping with their code K100 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use our code K100.
To Manscaped, which we love your products. We use them. We swear by them, okay?
Let me ask you a question. Sami Zayn follows you on Twitter, right?
Right.
You guys follow each other? Why don't you DM him our promo code here and see if he can
if he's interested.
Yeah, he gets that for his beard, yeah.
Yeah, perfect, I think right? That's part of his personality right now.
Yeah.
But anyway, so check out Manscaped. That brings you the most comfortable underwear you've ever tried. They got this leather bag that's awesome. Everything they do is high quality. So check out all their products at Manscaped. Boom.
Next from Zach Elbin. Subject, Sami Zayn not legitimate WWE champ material. Hey guys, can you give us a legitimate reason why anybody thinks Sami Zayn can be WWE champ? If so, how would you book him for a lot of us to believe it? Seeing him as a champ just throws a lot of casual viewers off. Look at him. He looks like a guy that might be making my Chipotle burrito or working at a Wawa. I mean, come on. It's a pity party. They did it for Kofi and Daniel Bryan. It didn't pan out well. It would just make the titles feel not special, just a hand-me-down, which the belts have basically been for a while. Well, this is the problem. This is suggested is because when guys perform at a high level and they get over like he does, the wrestling fans say, well, we got to put the belt on this guy. You know, when the reality is he's just doing well in the storyline. We speak about this in another mailbag, but I say I kind of agree with some of this, that it's not good for the suspension disbelief if you have this guy as the guy that beats Roman Reigns after he's mowed down the whole roster. You know, yeah. And like you need somebody that looks the part to beat him, and I think Cody looks the part. So next is from Mr. I Am Tremendous, and the subject is Disco Glenn Whatever. Inferno, here's the deal. A week ago, I was listening to a bonus episode. You made me so mad, I could have actually spit right on the ground. And you should know, I only spit when I'm extremely agitated. I had a legitimate question. A question that wasn't even for you. I asked Conan, Not only did you power talk over him as you usually do, but you never let him answer. Why is it that if you decide you don't care about something, that it's not worth anyone else hearing? You do the same thing to Billy. He brings up something and you say, I don't care about that. Go on to the next thing. You did it on Vince's show with Jeff Lane. You censored my free speech. Then you weaponized Conan's kazoo against we, the listening public, and further silenced opposition by suspending and banning people from the mailbag without giving them a chance to explain or defend themselves. You're drunk with power. Good day to you. Dr. I am Tremendous, PhD.
It's kind of dictatorish. He's got a point.
Cody, would you agree with this guy's comments?
That you don't let me talk or some shit like that?
Yeah, and he's drunk with power.
Drunk with power.
Right.
Do you think I'm drunk with power?
No, you just power talk.
Now, would you like to hear I Am Tremendous's first question and possibly answer it without DI interrupting you or no?
Go ahead.
Do you want to hear it? All right. Here was his original question. Conan, when you were putting together the podcast, was there a plan B for a co-host if Mr. Inferno didn't want to or couldn't be the co-host? Mr. Inferno is the best co-host in wrestling podcasting, while second best, no one can touch Joe Feeney on the Raven Effect. Nothing?
Yeah, I think I can't see how he could be and much better than he is here.
And then there's F. Mary Kill, Conan's producer's edition, Alice Radley, MSL, and KG.
Yeah, I don't participate in F. Mary Kill.
Yeah. What was the first question?
They wouldn't have questions.
Who would have been on the show if Disco was unable to commit the time? Did you have someone in mind as a backup?
I think it was Shane Helms.
I miss Shane.
Interesting. So next is from Ick 5150, and the subject is Shane and Rhonda. Sup? Shane and Rhonda should be killing bitches. My wife, who's barely a fan, knows who they are, and was very disappointed when Natty and Shotzi actually had a competitive match. She wanted to see those girls demolish Booger and Plastic Heart. Question, shouldn't Shane and Rhonda be this killer tag? They're MMA trained, they're bigger than 90% of the roster, and they can bring some type of prestige to those crap tag belts. And they'd beat almost all the girls. Thoughts? I'm not going to disagree with any of that. I don't know why they had such a competitive. Like, those two together should just be demolishing these girls until they run into Raquel Rodriguez and, like, another big girl, you know? What do you think?
I was saying this a long time ago. They should be together as a tag team and maybe even reform, like, the Four Horsewomen, since that was their gimmick.
Right.
But there was one girl that was part of their Four Horse gimmick thing that I saw in AEW, and she was brutal, that Marin Saffron or whatever her name is.
Oh, yep. Martina Shafir.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Marina Shafir, yeah.
Whatever happened to her? Bro, so many.
She's on AEW.
Mm-hmm.
Where is she?
Well, Sean Dark.
Brian Dark.
And
Paige Van Zandt. So many people that you're like, we're Lance Archer. I mean, it just goes on and on, bro.
Yes, yeah. I agree. Paige Van Zandt should definitely come back.
Next is from Paz. John Paz.
Wow.
Our boy from how many shows does he have, Joe?
He's got Kevin Sullivan, Tom Pritchard, Justin Credible, I believe, and then he does Business of the Business. Yeah. Next, but he's actually, like, we bust balls, but Paz has had some pretty – he had Sting on. He actually had Jerry McDevitt on, which was, like, I've never even heard of anyone getting him on a podcast.
Yeah. Wow.
So
next is from – subject is Fedor. Hey, yo, Conan, Fedor. Disco, and Joe. Fedor. Hope all is well. Disco mentioned Fedor and Malenko last week and him not going to UFC. Got a few things to say about that. Pride FC was bigger than the UFC during Fedor's run, so why would he want to go to a lesser organization during his run? Pride during its heyday was the premier MMA league and UFC was second. The UFC didn't come into prominence until the mid to late 2000s. After UFC bought Pride, the Yakuza led to the downfall, by the way.
Right.
Dana tried to negotiate with Fedor and his team, but lowballed him an offer. Same thing happened to Francis Ngannou in 2023. They could have had Fedor versus Brock.
Mm-hmm.
Fedor during his run beat all the UFC champions that reigned the years he was in Pride. Mir, Arlovski, and Sylvia. Randleman, as well as beating Big Nog twice, Coleman twice, and Rampage. Throwing that he also beat Krokop during his prime, and he also dominated Herrig, Schilt, TK, plus many others during 30-fight, 10-year undefeated streak, and it shows you he had a hell of a run. Thanks, and that's from John Paz. I guess he's got some credibility in that there, but still, this is kind of like
there was a time when I thought Fedor was the best heavyweight in the world when he was just going through everybody in Pride. Plus, if you remember, Pride didn't steroid tests. So all those guys,
because
you saw when Merkel Krokop came, I think, to UFC, how much smaller he was, and he wasn't as effective.
Right.
Did you guys ever see the documentary, The Smashing Machine, about Mark Kerr?
Yeah, Mark Kerr,
In Pride? That was phenomenal. Yeah. If you've never seen that, Conan, check it out. Yeah. They're going to actually, The Rock's making a movie based off it.
Yeah. Next is from Juan Mitza, and the subject is Masterful Second Opinion. Hey guys, hope all is well with you. Just recently saw a clip on YouTube where MJF was asked if he still spoke or was in good terms with Cody. He responded by saying yes, they still talk from time to time and they're best friends. He also said he calls Cody because he respects the shit out of him and calls him to get a second masterful opinion. With that said, did you and Conan ever have guys come up or call for having great respect your... Okay, let me read this sentence exactly like you said.
It's not great.
With that said, did you and Conan ever have guys come up or call for Haven, great respect your you to that they would love a second opinion on what they are doing or advice of what they could do to be even great? Sorry for the long email. I try to keep it short, Conan. Still praying for your health, my friend, is for you also, Disco, and Joe for his poor eyes. Also, to all the Billy haters out there, just do what I did last episode and fast forward, but I still respect his sports talk. Thanks again.
There you go.
Let me see. Great second. People call me for opinions all the time still. I still get calls from people that ask for my opinion. How about you, Conan?
Yeah, all the time.
All the time.
Even people from different promotions.
Yeah. Next is from Ganda Chanko. The subject is, who's a bigger draw? Good day, K100 crew. Just seen the AEW number is very underwhelming. Show sucked and rightfully got that low number. They're now closer to NXT than they are to Raw or SmackDown, so that begs a question. Who's a bigger draw? Bron Breakker or MJF? But in all seriousness, I think this has been a long time coming. In late 2021, they were doing 1.1 to 1.3 for about 2 months. So it's not that they did 1.4 and never got close again. They did get close, but drove away their audience. I know the answer is better stories and character development, but how quickly do you think AEW can turn things around? You can't build stories and emotion overnight. It takes time. Do you think they're even capable of turning it around? Joe, do me a favor while we're talking about this.
Yes.
Go look at like the 6 weeks of TV leading up to the Punk media scrum in the fight with the Elite, and the 6 weeks of TV after that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just look at those. Try and find that date, and I want to see what that is. Because I still say that, you know, bro, it's just here's what AEW is a good show. AEW is a good show when you got Cage and Luchasaurus on. AEW is a good show when you were pushing Wardlow. AEW is a good show when you had Punk on. AEW is a good show when MJF was making his rise. The thing is, like, but all this other stuff that they're doing is just atrociously underwhelming and drags out forever. Like, this the angle, like they're doing this thing with, like, the Jericho Appreciation Society, and the problem with – this is a problem with having factions, right? Is when you have factions, you look at all the matches you could have, and then you try to have them all, and the next thing you know, this angle's been going on for, like, 4 months, and it's not really going anywhere because all the guys are doing is just fight each other, and there's no stakes.
So
like that – go ahead.
The Punk thing after the pay-per-view was September 4th, okay?
Okay.
So here's the 6 weeks prior.
Okay.
900...
Start from the 6 weeks and go forward to that point.
That's what okay. I'm saying, yeah. Okay. 976,000, 938,000, 972,000, 957,000, 1.049 million, 1.020 million. Those are all prior to his scrum, okay? So the numbers were going back up, sort of.
Right. Yeah, they're doing good. They got over a million a couple weeks in a row, and then boom, and then this happens. Go ahead.
After the scrum, 1.035 million, 1.175 million, 1.039 million, 990,000, 1.038 million, 983,000, 752,000. October 18th.
Yeah, but that was maybe a Tuesday. That was a outlier.
No, it says schedule differences. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, yeah. So but then they drop below a million for the rest of the year.
Okay. So there was buzz coming out of that Punk thing, and there, you know, the one clear, and there was interest still. And it's like now that the Punk has not come back, and they kind of like, you know, the fans realize it, it's kind of just dropped off. What do you think about that, Conan?
Well, I think the numbers speak for themselves, right?
Mm-hmm. Pretty much. Like there was interest in Punk. There was interest in what they were, if that was an angle with the Elite and stuff and thing. And then when they realize it's not, it's just they haven't recovered since. From that, correct, Joe? I mean, they have
no.
Yeah, and it's weird that the other day I saw on Twitter Jericho putting over Punk, which makes me believe he's probably coming back now.
Or they probably talked to him and said, hey, look, bro, they've realized they need the guy.
Right.
Regardless of whether you like the guy has fans, period. You cannot deny that. There's obviously interest in Punk, and that's, you know. Bro, I tell you what, if it's time for him to come back when he's healthy, this is a show I would book. I would have Punk come out to the show and call out Kenny Omega to fight him right now in the middle of the ring. Let's just get this over with. and they do an angle and they book a street fight for the main event on that show between Kenny Omega and CM Punk. Tell just me that like would that. Immediately just like that, and they would that would instantly just people would buzz.
That's what he should have done when he first came in.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly, right?
But as you guys know well, Jericho, he sees things coming. He smells money. And if he probably realizes that publicly I said I'll never let Punk back. And if Punk comes back, we have a ready-made feud. We have a ready-made feud.
First of all, Jericho didn't publicly say anything.
Oh, people it was reported. I'm sorry. Right. Yeah, you're right.
So that may
right.
not even – that story may not even be true, you know? So, Conan, do you know if that story is true?
No, I've never heard him say that to me, but I have read that. That's what he said.
But yeah, right, but it's not, it didn't come from the
horse. Which could be true or not, right.
Exactly. Right. Next is from, let me see, Gulet Ahmed, and the subject is Conan's commentary in TNA. Yo, gentlemen, I remember when Abyss got brutalized by Team Cage in an episode of TNA Impact, and Conan was hilarious just selling the segment and seeing Abyss's bloody face all over my screen. Conan, did TNA ever consider you to be a regular commentator back in 2006, 2007? And would you ever do that looking back? Thanks from Hangsight. Filled in context in this time, Disco. Ha ha. Do you remember that, Conan?
No.
Joe, for next step, maybe try and find that. If we can
Conan's
find a
commentary.
Yeah, Conan blistering them a commentary.
Sure.
Next is some Create and Eliminate LLC. The subject is Impact in Vegas. What's up, K100 crew? I love the show and appreciate all the YouTube content. I have a few questions for you. First, hey, Disco, are you going to be at Sam's Town for Impact show? Hey, Conan, as a fellow shipmate, what was your rate in the Navy? Joe, Eagles suck. That's from Greg Vandallo. No, I'm going to be in town, but I don't believe I'll be performing on Impact or I'll be going to the show. Conan, as a fellow shipmate, what was your rate in the Navy?
YN, yeah.
YN. And Joe, the Eagles suck.
Conan, did you get that book, the Pale Horse book? Okay.
Next is from Jungle JG, and the subject is Jungle Boy. Hey, K100 crew, I hope all is well. I'd like to bring up Jungle Boy Jack Perry. I found this guy to be the drizzling shits. In ring, he's fine to me, but he has a personality of wet cardboard. I do not consider him a pillar of any sorts by any means. Maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm right, but I'm very curious on your guys' take on this, and if there's a way they can book him to succeed with the fans. I was thinking they'd ditch the stupid Tarzan crap and have him go full HBK heel mode. Sweet chin music, the dinosaur, LOL. That's keeping 100 JG from Jersey. Watching Jungle Boy like beat these big guys and just... He doesn't really show a lot of fire in there. Just like I don't know. This guy needs a lot of work. I mean, he's way, way too high on the card for what he actually like in physical stature and interviews and stuff. I don't know. It's like,
well, if Christian's coming back, they should have some good stuff between those two, right. Especially on Christian's side, hopefully. But I always agree with JR's perspective where he would go out of his way to call Jungle Boy Jack Perry because right. I think it's kind of difficult to take a guy serious if his name's Jungle Boy. Maybe right. That's just me.
You're absolutely right, Joe. Conan, do you think Joe is absolutely right for once?
No, I don't have. Bro, there's other names that are more ridiculous than Jungle Boy. You just get used to saying it. Like, yeah, there was like a rock group called
Luchasaurus.
The Beatles.
Is a goofy name.
You know, Luchasaurus is a goofy name.
It is yeah. Right.
Subject ran 019, and the subject is a question. Hello, Conan, to Disco and Joe. Amazing show, best podcast hands down. My question is, from all your years in the business, do you call any wrestlers who had contempt for fans or wrestling in general? Yes. Mm-hmm. Me and you have the same answer to this, Conan. Who had contempt for wrestling?
I don't remember wrestling.
Contempt for fans or
for
wrestling
fans,
in general.
A lot of guys, especially in autograph sessions, when they wanted to get the fuck up or they were like rude
to
fans.
Who's number one? Who was the number one guy?
Luger?
Oh, this is such a – yes. Right. Lex Luger.
Right.
Bro, remember when we went – Cody, were you in the – we were in – Luger really said this. When we were in England, well, on the Mike Sanders trip, remember we were all like
– yeah.
Okay. Remember when we checked in the hotel one time and Luger told the check-in – the person at the check-in counter, hey, can you give me a room away from the wrestlers?
Right. That did happen.
Yeah. Oh, he's classic, right?
Yeah.
So that answers your question, and that story answers the question too, because he actually literally had contempt for the wrestlers.
You know, you hear different stories from celebrities or athletes or whatever about annoying autograph seekers. They'll talk to you when you're taking a piss or at a funeral or something. What's mm-hmm. the most annoying or, you know, over the line encounter you guys have had where someone wanted a picture or an autograph?
Honestly, I've always signed, so I've never really had anybody with egregious requests. You know, like just a couple people, like maybe had 10 pictures at the airport. I signed them all, you know, whatever. I never really minded that because, you know, I don't know. It wasn't like I had to do a 2-hour signing where you're literally writing your name for 2 hours straight, which was a pain in the ass. But I didn't mind. What about you, Conan?
Probably when I'm on the I think I told you the story one time. I had crashed. I had just bought this a Ferrari, and I had crashed in Tijuana, and I was bleeding, and people were wiping up my blood and asking me to sign it.
Oh, wow.
Are you serious?
Yes. And also, oh my God, when I'm in the urinal, I've had people, I'm like, dude, I mean, let me wash my hands and shit. I've never been a guy that, oh, I'm eating, come back later, because then don't eat out in public. If you're going to be famous, don't go out in public, because people are going to ask for a picture. They're going to ask for a fucking autograph. You're just kind of being a dick then. But, one thing I didn't like, I'll tell you what I didn't like. Here, can you sign my boob? Can you sign my arm? Well, you're going to wash it off. Why would you want me to sign a body part?
Right. I will say this. Do you remember that interview we played where Mr. Wrestling number 2 and the Assassin are having their thing? And the Assassin goes, they asked the Assassin why he wears his mask. Okay. And he gave an answer kind of like what Conan would say. Like Conan, he gave an answer of why, like, maybe you should wear a mask.
Right.
He says, because I do not want the notoriety that comes with being a celebrity when I'm out in a restaurant or I'm at a show and people come up and bother me. And so he goes, that's why I wear my mask, you know, right. Which is actually very legit. That's a great answer, you know, because it's true. Right. Next is from Chris Conan. What if from now on we start wearing masks in public? Maybe that's why Mio Moskos wore his mask. Yeah, well, but people come up and, like, you know, he's saying he wears his masks on the show, okay, which is because he doesn't want people to recognize him when he's out in public, which is actually a very great answer. So next is from just think about that. I was just thinking about this. That makes it kind of weird that Mio Moskos used to wear his mask all the time.
Not all the time. He would not all the time. He would only wear it, like, if he knew that, you know, like if he met you, he was not going to take it off in front of you.
Right.
Right.
But I'm just saying, it's like, but he would wear it a lot in public, right?
Only when he went to public functions that they knew he was Mio Moskos. But, like, if he went out to eat normally, wearing it. Right. But, like, me, since I was driving him to the fucking hotel and to the airport, he didn't want me to see his face, you know? Right. And which is kind of funny, because one time we were in Michigan and Hijo del Santo had a mask on, and the promoter, who was this white boy, had a mask on. I remember the promotion was called Rebel Lucha. And so Santo is in the car and he's like, is this guy going to take off his mask? And so I'm like, I don't know. Hey, are you going to take off your mask? He goes, well, I'm waiting for Santo to take it off. Santo's like, no, I'm waiting for you to take it off. Bro, this went on for like a real long time till they finally both took it off.
Next is from Chris Graham, and the subject is Practical Effects in Wrestling Part 2. Good evening. A few weeks ago, you answered my question about WWE's and more practical effects and big beatdown angles. For the most part, I agree how blood blading could turn the audience away. But would having fake bruises, black eyes, scrapes, or bumps fall into the same category as the use of blood? For example, if a babyface gets beaten down by a heel at the end of their match, and the next time you see the babyface on camera, they have a black eye, would that be too much for the audience, or does that start getting into hokey territory? Thanks again, Chris. Actually, no. That's actually not a bad idea. We have a lot of – there's tons of special effects you could do and stuff and things, so it's like, well, why would you not do makeup? Just to sell. They actually do it sometimes, but, like, you could do it not more enough. Often.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
And, like, back in the day, because they even did this in Mexico, and then I read in somebody's book, they did it in the NWA. They would, like, if they were in a real good fight, they would use sandpaper and scratch their face. So
when
you saw them, they had, like,
They did that to Steamboat when he was working with Flair.
Here's the problem, though, is, you know what? You could actually do this today to, like, have but bro, the people would just. After when they're done, they just go wash it off and go, and they're on social media, like looking regular, and they're just killing the whole thing, right?
You know? Right. So, posing with the person that did it to them. That was a great match.
Yeah, right. Next is from we got four left here, five left. John Power, the subject is Jay Briscoe. Hey guys, John here from Vegas. Want to get your thoughts on the AEW tribute to Jay Briscoe. With the amount of support Jay was getting from the wrestling community, wrestlers and fans alike, I thought this was something AEW could capitalize on. Instead, we got a 12-minute match that felt like 4 to 5 minutes of ads during the match. I think AEW dropped the ball on this one, or am I just looking too much into it? Thoughts? bro, this is going to be a controversial take, all right? But it's like, Jesus Christ, guys. It's like, they get a lot of mileage off of death. Like when somebody dies, and it's like, there's a tribute. You could almost like make it like it's, you know, like doing it as much as they do. It's almost like a cheap promotional tactic. How often was the kid on the show? The Brody Lee's kid was on the show for how long?
It was a while.
Come on. It's like, there's like a period of mourning, right? And it's like, we need to kind of like at some point, okay, yeah, we mourn and let's continue. But like to drag the mourning out instead of like more, I don't know. You're reminding everybody somebody died. And it's like, I don't know if that's something that wants to keep festering on the show and stuff. And I don't know. I'm just have a different take than anybody else. What do you think, Conan?
Well, I don't know what you did. You want like a whole show tribute to him?
That's what I'm saying. We got a 12-minute match. It's like, okay. And it's okay. The guy's brother died.
Yeah.
I mean, we're still trying to do episodic storytelling, but like we're just stopping.
I think that
our
was
show
good enough. You know, I don't right. think, you know,
it, exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's plenty. It's like, there's no reason to, you do a tribute show. It's like,
plus, it wasn't like he was on the AEW show that much, you know, if at all.
Right. Next is from Adam Des Moines. He's our boy that gets me in heat with Tony Schiavone.
Right.
He's going to get you some more.
Oh, God. The subject is Schiavone Pizza Hut Kingpin. As you know, Tony Schiavone calls me weekly to get booking ideas for AEW to take back to Tony Khan and act like the ideas are his. Like Disco's Jungle Hook idea that they went without knowing it was Disco and Conan's idea. This is fun. Okay, first of all, Adam, right now, I'm going to read the rest of your email, but this is going to be – you're going to be suspended because that first sentence was misinformation, okay? And what do we do with emails that have misinformation?
Suspend them.
Get suspended.
Yeah. Yeah, because we don't want to be caught from the bro. PayPal was. Did you remember when PayPal was saying they were going to fine people $2,500 for misinformation?
No.
Okay, that was the thing they were talking about doing. Like, it's crazy, right? Well, anyway, this past week we were talking on the phone, and he mentioned to me something interesting about those Tony Khan after Dynamite wrestler parties that Khan puts on. Tony said that he's assumed the role of chief catering officer, the COO. And is tasked with ordering over $600 in Pizza Hut pizzas every Wednesday night for the boys using Khan's AEW credit card. But Schiavone is using the Pizza Hut app on his personal phone to make the order, which is earning the new COO ungodly Pizza Hut points, which he then uses them to purchase free Pizza Hut products for himself in his own time. As you may have noticed, Schiavone has been becoming more rounded in his size over the past few weeks, and this new decree by his boss has, in my opinion, exacerbated this. Schiavone said that this was his revenge of the old WCW president Jim Herd for all those years of misery that Jim put him through at WCW in the late 80s and early 90s. Remember, Jim Herd was a manager for Pizza Hut before joining WCW.
Mm-hmm.
Disco and Conan, what are your thoughts on Tony Schiavone using his new job duties to pretty much scam Pizza Hut? And do you think the title of COO is a good fit for Schiavone moving forward? P.S. Disco. Are you excited about the U2 Las Vegas residency at the new Circle Amphitheater that they're building? Are you going to move in mysterious disco ways? Yeah, that's awesome. They got this new arena they built, which is like it's like an egg. It's like an egg dome,
right.
Like a half an egg, and they're going to have it's going to be like the best concert venue in the world, supposedly. Like the way they have it set up and stuff and everything. But that's awesome. That U2 is going to be. I'll definitely go see that. Probably multiple times. Conan, what do you think about the story of Tony?
I don't know if this is true, so I can't comment.
I was told this story, and I was like, you know, I always heard
you
AEW
told
had
the story by who?
By Adam. Yeah, right.
He told the story. So this is a shoot story. This is not made because this is very creative. If this story is made up, this is very clever.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
But my question was, I always heard AEW had good catering and stuff.
Right.
If you guys went after the show and it's like, hey, here's your shitty Pizza Hut. Wouldn't you be a little disappointed? Like, this is the best we can do here? Like, it seemed to me like,
no,
why
because
would...
they're giving you food for free. Why would I think that?
Let me ask you a question, Conan. Can you've been to AEW. Can you confirm this Pizza Hut story?
When I was there, they were eating, like, he had ordered ice cream and he had ordered some McNuggets. So I wouldn't doubt that he's probably Pizza Hut.
There you go.
Interesting. I had heard...
Love crust.
The story I had heard... Bro, when they wasn't, like, the catering, like, more gourmet?
Yeah, the catering is incredible. And then afterwards, and I don't know if they do this in every hotel, but they would have like this one big room where you could go, and they had food prepared for all the wrestlers, like chicken and potatoes or chicken and rice, or they had vegetables and chips and shit.
Yeah. All right, next is from
That was very well done.
Yeah. Next is from Randy Vasquez, and the subject is K-100 Talks. Hey, guys, I just finished listening to the latest K-100 Talks. I must say, it's a shame that you guys even have to address this stuff. Conan made a joke, end of story. The funny thing is most of the negative comments are coming from people that claim that you guys are irrelevant. Clearly, you aren't irrelevant to them. Why else would they comment? These fans don't realize that they are putting way too much pressure on wrestlers that are new to being on such a big stage. Why won't they give guys like Hook, Utah, Garcia, and Takeshita a chance to develop? Randy Vasquez. P.S. I'll be at the March 8th episode of Dynamite in Sacramento. Would you guys like a report? Yes, we had Randy on our watch-alongs this week. So he will be our live. If anybody, by the way, any of our Patreons, if any of you guys are going to a live show, like either Ross, any of the shows we review, okay, you're welcome to come on and give a fan's perspective of a live correspondence report. So we do welcome that. Hopefully this is the last week we ever have to talk about this. The stupid Takeshita comment, which is obviously a joke, and it's embarrassing listening to people, you know, these people thinking it was thinking that was a serious comment. This is, I mean, they're just some, you know, whatever. Okay. Next is from, there's only two left here. Beto Garcia. Subject is football entertainment. How's it, Jens? It's your homeboy from the 415 on Discord as G41503 51. The biggest contributor to the Robert Perry NSFW section. That's not a badge of honor, because it's mostly porn pics that you're submitting. Okay, so you obviously surf a lot of naked girls.
Yeah, and like OnlyFans leaks, so you're breaking the OnlyFans confidentiality clause.
Right. Leading up to the playoffs, a lot of theorists are saying the NFL is scripted. Roger Goodell saying the league is a form of entertainment, pro wrestling reference, and scripted is him admitting to it. There are things that are very head scratching. I'm a Niners fan. I've seen some stuff that looks very iffy going against my team and others. Since Joe Fredo Henry Hill Feeney is not a hardcore football fan, Conan Disco, do you believe any truth of the NFL being predetermined? Stay righteous, mentally, and physically healthy. First of all, in order to script sports, you have to have guys that know how to work and know how to do it. And I don't know at what level you're teaching people to fix games. You know, so I would say that the sports is not scripted. What about you, Conan?
Well, if they are being fixed, because I used to think before, well, what are you going to do? Tell all 22 guys that, you know, but all you need is for a quarterback to throw an interception or a wide receiver to miss a touchdown in the end zone.
And you need referees, too. You have to have a referee. You have to have, I mean, because like the
not
referees
if you drop
can
the
ruin.
Ball. The referee doesn't have anything to do with it.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. But like, yeah, it's just too many things can happen that are unscripted for you to script something.
I don't think that guys making that amount of money are going to risk themselves being found out. You know what I'm saying? And being thrown out of football or whatever the consequences would be, the shame or whatever.
Next is from
you
JG.
Never know when money's involved.
Right.
Right.
Next is from JG. The last one, subject is Miro and Lana. Hey, K100, I was wondering, why is Lana not paired with Miro on AWTV? Seems like he's floundering, has zero creative going on. We haven't seen him do shit in months. Why not make him and Lana the AEW version of Scarlett and Cross? Seems like just a waste of talent to have Miro and Lana just sit in the sidelines. Thanks for taking the time to read my email. Love the show and all the talent involved. Keeping 100. It's very weird that Lana never is on has been hired, because he always references her in promos.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that got him heat.
Yeah, well,
I don't know. I don't know. Go ahead.
He was super getting over in this last gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Redeemer, whatever he was.
Right.
He didn't even need Lana. I'm not saying that she wouldn't have been welcome, but, you know, who knows what's going on over there, bro? Because, I said, where there's so many people that you wonder what happened to them.
Right. Let's do the mailbag.